church and to pray with other people. Father, this is an honor and a privilege. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come to pray tonight, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, as we speak, as we use the name of your Son, Lord, your ears are now tuned to our every word. Even our thoughts, Lord, when we don't know how to pray. So, Father, we give you this evening. Wash us with your word, first of all. And then, Lord, refresh our minds and fill us again with your Holy Spirit. May the fruit of the Spirit be here tonight, Lord, as we love and encourage and just are kind and gentle to one another, Lord. Lord, we give you this time. Let it be a holy time now. These things we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Please take a seat. Thank you. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. As I've read over this, what I would love to have playing on the screen is just the scenes and the topography and geography of Israel. And tonight I pray that you move in your spirit, just like Ezekiel was taken in a vision. I pray tonight God takes us to the very promised land, the Holy Land. As we take a sneak preview, a look into the future as well. Ezekiel 37. God will revive the people and the nation of Israel. Sadly, today, the majority of those in Israel don't even believe in God. But there's coming a time, and we're living in it. We're living in the end times, the last days. And God will revive the people and the nation of Israel during the end times, our future. And bring in a kingdom age. It's something that Ezekiel predicted way back when he was given the ministry. Remember, he's a priest. Babylon has been used by God as a judgment upon the nation of Israel, and three waves as they've laid siege to Israel and taken captives. Remember Daniel being the first lot. Jeremiah is still back there, but Ezekiel has been taken captive. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, speaking of Israel. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's God's ways. And you'll keep my judgments and do them. That promise encompasses both Israel and the rest of the world when Christ returns in what's called the millennium, the thousand-year reign. It's part of the new covenant forged by Jesus Christ on the cross. As I said, will be fulfilled ultimately. So we're stepping into the future, into the millennium. Millennium means thousand. So the rapture occurs, the great tribulation, the second coming occurs, and then the thousand-year rule and reign by Christ. We're stepping into that period. You remember at the beginning of Ezekiel's ministry, that the Holy Spirit took him to sit amongst the discouraged exiles by the river Chebar. In chapter 3 of verse 14, I'll read it to you. So the Spirit lifted me up, it's capital S for Spirit, took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And I came to the captors of Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Later on, the Holy Spirit took him in a vision to Jerusalem. even though he's in Babylon, to the very temple gate, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3. Then he takes him back to Babylon. I'm giving you a catch-up where we are. Now in chapter 37, the Holy Spirit takes Ezekiel in a vision to a valley filled with dry, bleached bones. Many, many dried bones. The skeletons of corpses long ago decomposed and devoured by carrion-eating birds and animals. These people were slain. And down in verse 9, and we'll start at verse 1 shortly. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Verse 10, so I prophesied and he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Let's read from verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out, and the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, God asked Ezekiel a question. He says, can these bones live? Ezekiel answered, oh Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That's a statement, remember, that's been going on right from the get-go. God has wanted Israel, Judah, to know that He is the Lord. God's going to do the same to our world, you know. He's going to show them, I am the Lord God. He's going to reveal Himself. Who are these bones? They may have been soldiers in the Jewish army. And it was a humiliating thing for the body of a dead Jew not to be washed. They're buried within 24 hours. It was a humiliating thing for their bodies to be left laying in the valley, not washed, not wrapped, not buried with dignity in a grave or a tomb. These bodies were left on the battlefield, scattered, where they were slain. The Lord had warned Israel in the covenant He made with them that their sins would lead to just that kind of shameful experience. He said to them in Deuteronomy 28:25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Then he said in verse 26, your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Deuteronomy talked about the blessing and the cursing, the blessings that would come if they obeyed the Lord, but the curses that would come if they disobeyed the Lord. And this is what's happened. This is why judgment has come upon Israel and Judah. Remember, they had turned from God. They had rebelled. God had sent the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel's alive, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They hadn't listened to them. Jeremiah had prophesied the very same. Now the Lord commands Ezekiel, and remember, Ezekiel is a priest, to walk around in this vision among the bones so he could appreciate their vast number and see how bleached and dry these bones were. As I said, now as a priest, Ezekiel was never to be defiled by the dead. But this was a vision, and the bones were not toxic. And Ezekiel is now just wondering, why, Lord, have you given me this vision? Such a vision. But the Lord's question gave Ezekiel the answer in verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. From a human viewpoint, obviously not. I mean, this is a graveyard. A hideous battle scene. But from the heavenly scene, and that's always, there's always two views in the Bible. What man sees, but then the heavenly scene. But from the divine viewpoint, nothing is impossible to God. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Ezekiel, that thus far prophesied to the mountains. Imagine that, just going out to the mountains and speaking to them. In chapter 6 and 21. And then he'd been told in chapter 20 to go and prophesy to the forests. Now he's commanded to prophesy to dead bones. What is all this about? Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of the Lord, the Bible, the word of the Lord is living and powerful. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the word of God not only has life, it gives life. When you or I receive the word of God to us, it changes us. It grabs that which is dead and brings life to it. God's word, Jesus says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life. That's why the Bible is so powerful. That's why I encourage the Calvary Chapel style is for you to be people of the Word. And when you talk to people, to use God's Word. We're simply the messengers. We don't have to work out what to say. We're the heralds. Remember, Ezekiel was told, I don't want you to say anything other than what I've told you to say. That's really good. You know, that's the same thing for us. When you share with people, if you share the Word of God, it's not you just, oh yeah, that's nice, oh that's interesting. When you share the Word of God to someone, when you give them a scripture, when you show them a passage in the Bible, and you speak to that to them, something amazing happens. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says, the word of the Lord goes out and it does which he sends it to do. It never, never, never returns void. The problem with the church today is we're talking about philosophy, we're talking about psychology, we're talking about feelings, we're talking about this is a good thing to try, maybe this will work. What the church needs is the Word of God. What you need is the Word of God. What my own spirit needs is the Word of God. What your marriage needs is the Word of God. What your son, what your daughter needs is the Word of God. It brings life. That's what's happening here. God's word of command in verse 4 is followed by his word of promises in verse 5 and 6. Prophesy to these bones, he said in verse 4. Then life comes into them, verse 5 and 6. Ezekiel believed the promise and obeyed the command, and the bones came together. Now think about this. He could have said, Lord, this is stupid. This is silly for me to do this. How silly would Moses have been if when the people wanted water and God said, yeah, just to speak to the rock or strike it? Water's not going to come out of the rock. You see, you and I, so often, we want God to use us. And God says, this is what I want you to do. You go, that's stupid. That's silly, Lord. God, whenever God tells us, whatever he says, we just do it. And Ezekiel doesn't go, oh, I'm not going to do this. He prophesies to this field of dry, scattered bones. And what happened? As soon as he did so, before his eyes, the bones begin to regather before his eyes. And he says, I put sinew on you, flesh, skin gets covering, and all that happens. So I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, as I was prophesied, and there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But notice there's one thing that didn't happen. There was no breath. So now he has a field of bodies put back together, but they're not alive. So Ezekiel believed the promise, obeyed the command, and the bones came together. This is also a vivid picture of Ezekiel's very ministry, that the people of Israel had not responded to Jeremiah, Isaiah, or Ezekiel's prophecies any more than a pile of bones would. Ha! But God had regeneration and revival in mind, despite how futile it seemed. God hadn't given up on Israel, and he still hasn't. The bodies only lack one thing now: life. So God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy, notice, to the wind, told him what to say. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. I love this. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. In the Hebrew language, the word ruah can mean wind, breath, spirit with a small s, or spirit with a capital S. Jesus mentioned thus the same when he spoke that quiet night that a man called Nicodemus came to him about the blowing of the wind and the new birth that would come only by being born again through the Spirit, capital S, same word. There is also a reference here to the creation of Adam in Genesis 2. If you look back in if you remember, at God's creation, God formed Adam out of the earth, out of the clay. Perfectly, there he is. Complete physically. But he had no life. Until God breathed into his nostrils, the ruah. And the breath of God entered him, and man became a living being. When Ezekiel spoke the living word of God, the breath from God entered the dead bodies, and they lived and stood to their feet. I think, and I know, we went to a conference, we got into America on a Monday night, we headed back Saturday night. It was a quick trip. Something that God reiterated to Helen and I while we're there is the importance again of preaching the Word of God. Not being swayed by this and that, the ways of the world that are trying to, and they have, infiltrate the church, but the preaching of the Word. Let the Word do the job. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just let it go. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed. Each time you hear the word of God, God's living word is going out to you. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In verse 9, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as God commanded me, and breath came into them. They lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, now we're going to find out who the bones are. You see, the Bible tells you what these things are. You don't have to go, well, who is it? Is this spiritual church or not? See what it says. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. Because Israel was lost. The temple was in ruins. They'd been overwhelmed and taken out in judgment. Daniel writes about that. 70 years they would be. And we ourselves are cut off. They can't have worship without the temple. They can't do anything. They can't approach God. They're in another country. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. 1948. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. When Ezekiel spoke the living word of God, the breath from God entered the dead bodies and they lived and stood to their feet. The Lord explained the vision. The dead, dry bones represent the whole Jewish nation, both Israel and Judah, a divided nation and a dead nation. They're captured like bleached bones on a battlefield. Israel's situation, your situation, your marriage. Sometimes in our own lives we think, God, I have really missed it, blown it. And we think we've done the unforgivable. Oh, God. Isn't that what Moses must have thought when he struck the stone? It had already been struck once before. The rock was Jesus. Jesus would only be sacrificed once. Moses was angry against the people. And as he did that, the water came out. God called Moses over. He said, Moses, you've misrepresented me. Because it was a picture of Jesus, one sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Moses, you can't take the people of Israel into the promised land. You can't go. You see, the law will never get you into the promised land. The law under Moses could never get Israel into the promised land. It would take Jesus, Yahshua, to take them into the promised land. But in Hebrews, where do we find Moses? In the Gospels, where do we find Moses? He's on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus. He gets there. You see, sometimes we think, oh, I've just blown it. God is so good. That's why heaven is going to be so wonderful. So wonderful. Oh, God, I'm going to be so miserable there. Things that are... Because God takes all our sin, all our problems. He's done this with Israel. He's telling us this is what he's going to do with Israel. Israel's situation seemed hopeless, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. All things are possible. What a great statement that you can tell your son, your daughter. When someone's heartbroken, when they're shattered, all things are possible. It's not the end. There will come a day when God's living word of command will go forth and call his people from the grave. What is that? The nations to which they've been scattered across the world. They've been cut off and separated from each other. little bands of Jews in Germany, in Europe, in France, in England, in the United States, in China, in Yemen, in Russia, all over the world, little scatterings of Jews everywhere. They've been scattered throughout the entire earth. Then, verse 21, as the Lord says, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land in the millennium. The children of Israel will come together, but the nation will not have spiritual life yet. It'll stand. They're gathered in the millennium, but there's something else yet to happen. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, they won't have life until the Messiah comes, until they believe on Him and receive the Holy Spirit of life. Ezekiel 39:29, I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my Spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord. Zechariah 12:9, speaking of the second coming of Christ, when His feet, and I love going up onto the Mount of Olives, because you know why? Because that's where He left, and that's where He's coming back. I love standing on the Mount of Olives. This is the spot, this is the place around here, because this is where He took off, and this is where He's coming back. Be a great place to sit and wait. It shall be in that day, in Zechariah, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they've pierced. As Jesus returns the second coming, His feet land on the Mount of Olives. It splits in two. And the children of Israel, it says in Zechariah, yes, they will mourn for Him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for Him as one grieves for a firstborn. And in that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, and so on and so on. All the families that remain, every family by itself. And they'll ask Him, where did you get these wounds? House of my friends. Oh. And such will be the mourning that husband and wives will separate for a time. See, repentance and the welcome of Christ. The nation will be born and born again in a day. There's one other passage. One other spiritual application, however, as we draw a close to this little passage, we can take from this famous passage. Any individual or ministry that is in need of new life from God can look to this passage as well. There's never too far, never too far gone. Too often God's people are like the standing army, lifelike but not alive. Many times we're going through the motions, but there's no emotion. How does the life come? How does the life come back into your marriage? How does the life come back into your relationship with God? Perhaps you've wandered. Through the Holy Spirit, using the faithful proclamation of the Word of God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, decayed churches can most certainly be revived by the preaching of the Word, accompanied by the coming of the heavenly breath from the four winds, the Word and the Spirit hand in hand. From time to time, in response to His people's prayers, Spurgeon said, the Lord has seen fit to send a new breath of life to His church and His servants. And for that blessing, tonight you and I can be praying for this church. Verse 15, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, and as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel. His companions then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for Israel. His companions then join them one to one another for yourself unto one stick, that they become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I'll take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it. With the stick of Judah, it had been a divided country, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand, and the sticks in which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. He says in verse 21, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. Wherever they have gone, will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land. But notice what else is the millennium. On the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. This is why the battle, the struggle is over the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because Satan doesn't want the people of Israel to be in Israel, because then there's no one for Jesus to come back to. And he doesn't want the Jews to have hold of Jerusalem, because then there'll be nowhere for Jesus to come back to rule and reign from. But you and I can safely say God's not going to allow either of those things to go astray, no matter what Iran does. In 12 months' time, they will have the capacity to put a nuclear warhead upon a missile. Just 12 months. And my servant, verse 24, because of time, my servant David, 25, shall be their prince. How long? Forever. My servant David, who is Jesus? He's the son of David. And I'll make a covenant with them. My tabernacle will be with them, and I will be their God. They'll be my people. God is not finished with Israel. The nations also will know that I am the Lord. Sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in the midst forevermore. This is the last of Ezekiel's sermons, action sermons. What would maintain the unity of the people when this occurs? One, the Lord would cleanse them and renew spiritual life within them so that they no longer had any ambitions to compete with one another. They tell you when you have two Israelis arguing, you have three arguments. Their one king would be the Messiah. He would be shepherd over them with love and grace. The Bible says he will be their prince forever. Thirdly, the Lord would so order and bless the land. Isaiah tells us that the nations will gather and they'll all come to worship Jesus in the land of Israel during the millennium. I've run out of time. Isaiah chapter 2, read that. It says, all the nations of the earth will come and worship in the land of Israel, Jesus, who is in Jerusalem. You say, Keith, what's this got to do with me? It's got to do with you plenty, because we're the unnatural branch, and Israel is the natural branch. And when you and I travel to Israel, we feel home. We're not Israeli, but we have the one God. We have the same God, and we have a love for the nation and people of Israel that is God-given. And it breaks our hearts when we travel, those of you who have been there, we see the young soldiers, because they're without God at the moment. But there's more yet to happen. And we'll get to that in 2 weeks' time, because there's going to be a battle in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And there's going to be an army, a massive army, that God will put into their minds the idea to attack Israel. And at the moment, all the positions are laid out. Russia, Iran, and the other conglomerates gathering together. And they'll sweep down from the north and attack Israel. But it will be God who puts that idea into their leaders. But we've got to wait in a fortnight's time for that. But I wanted to give you this passage because God's word is powerful. It does the impossible. It has the breath of God in it. When you go to hospital and someone's in a coma, read the Word of God. They hear every word. It goes to their spirit. It ministers to them. When you read the Bible, God's word goes to your spirit and it always brings life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Now guide us as we pray tonight, Father. Guide us as we pray as a church in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen and amen.